The choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go.
Salutations, greetings, and hello. My name is Stephen Briggs. I am chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 128, Emotionally Predatory. So there have been a number of headlines over the last couple of weeks, pressing on, I would say, various fears with respect to the economy, with respect to the stock market. Are we going into a recession? What's going to happen, you know, to my 401k? And I got to be honest, I don't get where the fire is. I understand that the market is down. Markets do not go up always, it turns out. And about every 6 years or so, we do get one of these substantial pullbacks. And it should be no surprise that we have one again here after a few years. And if you look around at the world, you can. It's pretty easy to see what's going on, from fallout from COVID and supply chain to inflation and interest rate pressures, I would say, to what's going on regarding the war in Ukraine and the disruption that that's had to the complete, you know, basically rerouting of supplies in the energy market. Yeah, there are a number of vectors that are concerning. But when it comes down to whether or not basically the world is end, should I be hiding cash in my mattress and whatnot? Well, hate to break it to you, but if you're doing that in an inflationary environment, you're already losing 7% a year at this point. So I would argue that that's, you know, if you think that that's a safe play. It's sort of like they were saying, are bonds a safe play? And I go, bonds are down about 20% this year. So if you think that, you know, hiding in debt or you know, in owning debt or hiding in cash, these things are safe havens on their own. Now, everything is losing this year, by and large, to some extent. And if you say, well, what about the energy companies? And I'll go, yeah. Have you held on to them the last 5 years leading up to now? Because they've not been pretty. So the fact that they've had six solid months does not make them a better investment than they were over the past several years. I digress. But the point is that, you know, there are a number of things that are in fact happening that are pressures. But I'd also point out other facts that don't usually get reported with that. The fact that, for example, credit quality is as strong today in the American consumer as it was pre-pandemic, actually a little bit stronger. We have less debt as a percentage of income than we did during pre-COVID, rather. And what's remarkable about that is that our usage of credit is among the lowest in the last 50 years. People do not have massive balances like they've had historically with respect to lines of credit. Doesn't exist. And people today have more cash savings than they've had in decades. So when I hear about, you know, and we're sitting on an employment market that's super tight, you're talking sub 4% unemployment and wages rising. Now, cost of goods also rising by a healthy margin as well. And I get that that's a pressure and a dynamic. But this suggestion that everything's terrible, the world is going to collapse, everything is going to blow up, I'm going to throw out there a term, I'm going to say emotionally predatory. And here's where that's rooted. It's very clear to me that the media is very interested in the idea of if it bleeds, it leads. And that also includes financial reporting. Objectivity is basically gone when it comes to this stuff by and large. Because frankly, that's not what gets people to click on things. If you sit there and take a balanced view of, yep, there are some pressures right now. Yep, the market and governments are working through those pressures. Yep, they're slowly, steadily finding solutions. That's not satisfying, and that doesn't get people to click on an article. You have to say things like, is your 401k going to crash? Are you going to be able to retire, etc.? Here's the deal. One, if you were already going to retire within the last year, you should have already had cash back to work on that, because there's no way to know what's going to happen a year from now, even a couple of years from now. So I'd argue that if you didn't already have that in play, then there was a risk management issue before we got to this situation. But now we're in it. And so to that end, the principles essentially don't change when we get to this point. Anyone, whether you're in retirement, whether you're building up, whether you've got 30 years of retirement, you should have ample cash in your savings account in the event of an emergency that can happen regardless what the economic conditions are. So having good defense isn't just for a bad time. You have to have it prepared at all times. The risk management doesn't change by virtue of the circumstances that we're currently in. But the bottom line is this, so that means mindset in this should be to be consistently prepared. If you don't have strong cash savings, that needs to be a priority in what you build. If you're looking at, should I be investing in this market? Let's put it this way. I think the stock market is one of few places, and this is a quote, I don't know who to attribute it to specifically, because I looked it up and found a number of potential sources. So whoever you are, this one's for you. But the stock market is one of few places where when there is a substantial discount, everyone goes running for the doors as opposed to running through them. Like, it'd be like going into a Kohl's, looking at or wherever you shop, if you're a Nordstrom person, if you're a Macy's person, if you're a Bloomingdale's person, or a Neiman Marcus. Neiman Marcus doesn't, do they have sales? I guess so. Wherever your poison might be on this. But when you see BOGO, buy one, get one, do you think, boy, that looks terrible, I should run away because if it's on sale, there must be something wrong with it? Nah, you look at it and go, great, I'll take two of these. I was going to get one. You're going to give me two? I'll take two. We like that. And that's kind of where the stock market is. And it's not like the market hasn't been here or lower in the not too distant past. Go back to the beginning of the pandemic, 2020. That's 2.5 years ago. Market was down more than this. It was down more than this. It was. If we go back to 2018, end of 2018, there was a big market pullback. Market overall ended down nearly double digits. But if you were in technology, you were down well into double digits. And if you were in semiconductors, you were down about as much as you're down right now. So in all this, it's not like we haven't seen it before. And we lived. And not only did we live, but we thrived. Now, I don't know if that happens in the future. My crystal ball is just as good as yours. But the point being, I'm also looking at the data going, is inflation suddenly dropping like a rock? No, I don't think it will. It didn't happen like an explosion either. It took about a year to get to the point it's at, a little over it, about a year and a half. And it's probably going to take some time for it to settle down too. And we got to expect that. That's, some common sense here. But the thing is, you're not going to hear common sense. You're not going to hear a balanced view typically preached because they're not getting paid. Media is not getting paid to give you a balanced idea of what's going on. They're there to get your blood pressure up. And that's what keeps you engaged. That keeps the eyeballs glued to the screen. That keeps you clicking on the links. That's advertising dollars. That's engagement. That's what they want to see. That doesn't help you as an investor at all. That doesn't help you manage risk at all. So you've got to really divorce yourself from media when it comes to thinking about these decisions and breathing, relaxing, and going, okay, what of all this can I actually control? What can I do? Well, if you're looking around going, hey, I want to make sure I'm feeling secure, my first question is, one, are you earning more than you're spending? Like, flat out, if that's not the case, then you probably need to earn more and or spend less, and that's a whole discussion. We have lots of podcasts and articles on that. Or working with a financial planner, for that matter. The second thing, though, is if you're going, okay, no, I'm earning fine, spending's good, we're cash flow positive, life's good, do you have enough cash savings built up? Do you have several months? The Certified Financial Planning Board recommends 3 to 6. I recommend more. Our clients tend to keep more in cash than that in terms of long-term goals. And the bottom line is that it's, if you're looking going, you know what, I've got a few months of cash, but I'd like an extra month of savings, go for it. Build that up. No problem. You got it. Go nuts. Build a great, egg there so that, come hell or high water, you're fine. But then there is a point where you go, you know what, got enough cash, feel good about the job, debts are paid off, life's good. And this is where you get to be opportunistic. This is where you get to look and go, when they talk about buy low, sell high, well, buy low means everyone else is selling. This is a pretty good time to get into the market, I think. I mean, you look at it and go, okay. Now, again, I'm a huge fan of making sure all those priorities are in place so you can sure you've covered your real life defense first. But at the end of the day, I'd be pressed to sit here and go, are there opportunities out there? Absolutely. I do think you have to take a long-term view on it, and long-term doesn't mean 6 months. Long-term doesn't mean a year, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. It could take that long for a number of these problems to potentially unwind themselves entirely, or it could be much quicker than that. I don't know. What I do know is that I do look at, are people, when we think about, are people, we look at human behavior here, are people staying away from traveling and restaurants and events? And the answer is no. We're seeing a lot of those populations up in many events and cases higher than they were pre-pandemic, which points to recovery, not huge, big recession, at least in the United States. Much greater fear of recession if you're in Europe, where they're facing an energy crisis as well as some currency pressures and issues. That's just it. I mean, and that was one of the other things. I had a client write to me asking about this stuff, and one of the things I kind of pointed out was, even if we were to see a global decline of sorts, every other market is in a, generally speaking, a much worse position than we are. We have the backing of the U.S. dollar, which is the strongest currency in the world presently, not close. Everything else is getting beat up. And so the United States, compared to the rest of the world, is in a position of complete and total strength economically at this point, with resources. So, again, I'm looking at all this, and our gas prices have gone down precipitously for quite some time. I do not think our energy costs are going to be skyrocketing over the winter. We have much greater access to natural gas than most of the rest of the world, to the point where we're trying to export it to help pad the Europeans so they don't see an energy crisis or nearly as big of one. And it looks like it's starting to work. They've got over 80% of their stocks fueled up at this point. They've got a lot of energy over there stored. Is that enough to get through a winter? No. Is that enough to take a lot of edge off? Yeah. So, again, I'm looking at all this going, is the media going to report that complete picture? No. So instead of getting a balanced point of view, going, yeah, there are pressures, there are concerns. Short, medium term? Absolutely. Longer term, do I think more people are going to buy iPhones? Do I think more people are going to transact business? Do I think people get back to doing more traveling, more restaurants, more, entertainment? Do I think more people are going to be, do I think AI is going to increase or decrease? If you think about all the answers to those questions, and that hopefully gives a perspective of there is a world after this one, too. And I don't mean the afterlife. I mean, I'm not here to confirm that. I certainly don't have that insight. But there's to say there are going to be, you know, there's a month after this one, there's a year after this one, and so on. And to really be thinking about things in terms of that broader picture after you take care of your immediate needs and immediate threats, and recognize that this is actually a time, at least in our view, as an opportunity, so long as you're taking the position and the viewpoint that I'm probably not going to get paid out today. This is where you start, you know, building some investment foundation. This isn't necessarily where, oh, this is where the market's just going to shoot back up. I highly doubt that. It's very clear that the Federal Reserve wants to continue to raise interest rates. It's very clear until basically some of these more global risks ease that there's going to be pressure on this market. How long will it take? Unsure. Do I think things get easier? Probably after first winter here and Europe pulls through. Yeah, I think things get easier. I think there's a lot more confidence and more time to settle in. It's also entirely possible Russia at some point says, you want to know what? Enough. We're not going to win this thing. Let's lick our wounds and see if we can salvage what we have of an economy. Because that's the other concern for them is, as time goes on, as pricing caps do come into play, as more and more tariffs and restrictions befall the country, they have all this energy and fewer and fewer places to ship it. And so to that end, like I said, I'm just not that worried about what's going on. And what's going on is actually presenting a great opportunity, if you're in a good financial position, to take advantage of it. So it's just a matter of kind of taking a different perspective and look on it and recognizing that every individual is going to have a different feeling or opinion on this, depending on where you're at. Recognizing that risk management is an always thing. It's not a thing you just look at when times are tough. This is also something you need to be looking at when times are really good. And keeping a mindset that we always keep a healthy amount of understanding that we don't know what the future is, a healthy respect of that, and to make sure you're prepared at all times, as best as one can, for things that can come up, bad events that can come up. You know, we can have a really good economic period of time and we can still have a spouse pass away. We can have a really good economic boom. You can still lose your job in a low unemployment market. Layoffs can happen. Mergers and acquisitions can happen. Injuries can happen. We can get sick for an extended period of time. What then? We can get hit by a car and be out of work for a while. Are you prepared for all these things? And this is, again, where I think where financial planning really shows its strength, and especially the way we approach it. And I'm not going to go into a huge advertisement here except to say we take a holistic year-round approach for exactly this reason. Because it isn't just a build the plan, here you go, hope you have a good life. It's execute the plan, make sure the plan is staying the plan. When life changes, change accordingly. And having someone that knows you, your family, and has and can provide consistent guidance tailored to you means you're best prepared with advice that's made for you for the current situation. And it's fantastic. So to that end, that's where I think that if you're looking at this stuff and it's concerning you, that's okay. You have to recognize what their motivation is. But then let's turn it around and see if we can make lemonade out of these lemons. Okay, so they're trying to sour my day. What can I take away from this experience? And the takeaway is, if it is making you nervous, let's do an inventory and see, should you be nervous? If so, then okay, there's probably some things to work on there and an action plan. And let's, you know, again, this is where, you know, financial planning takes hold. If you look and go, you know what, I really don't have a reason to be nervous, then I'm going to give you a strong piece of advice. Turn off the media. Watch less TV. Stay off social. Go do something else. Because doom scrolling and binge watching pick your news channel is not going to change the world. It sure isn't going to make you feel better. And ultimately, I think it gets us focused on things that are very imbalanced compared to reality and ultimately don't serve you and what you need for the long run. Don't let the media put you in a position where they can, where the media can be emotionally predatory toward you. Be empowered by your own decisions, by information, and make decisions that are going to actually have a long-term impact on your household's risk management and your success. With that, I want to thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Money is Personal. You can catch all 128 episodes on the Briggs Financial website, BriggsWealth.com, as well as wherever your favorite podcast is, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate you. Make sure to like, follow, subscribe, whatever it is on there. It's completely free. And appreciate you sharing this with family or friends. If you have any feedback for me, let me know. Steven, Steven, at BriggsWealth.com. Or if you just want a little help with something, let us know. You can go on our website. You can schedule a free consultation. Thank you so much for listening. Have a fantastic week. Be safe, be well. And we'll catch you with a fresh episode next week. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making financial or investment decisions and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.